I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picked off! Surtain up the sideline! Can he get there? Surtain to the end zone for the touchdown!
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Very happy to be joined right now by Nate Kreckman as we take our first look at Sunday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Broncos. Nate Kreckman does some fantastic work for Altitude 92.5 in Denver, Colorado. Nate, how's it going, my man?
I don't know about fantastic work, but I'll take it. Let's roll.
How are the Broncos over 500?
It's a great question because they're not that good, but they're also not that bad, and that's why they can be over 500 right now. The biggest reason is that they went down to Dallas and beat the Cowboys the first Sunday of November as a massive underdog. Things just absolutely went their way that day. Dallas missed a couple of fourth downs in the first half. Vic Fangio had an excellent game plan to slow down Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. And the Broncos kind of stunned the world, but they showed you again the following week exactly who they are, and they came home and got blown out by the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, last week, a home date against the Chargers, and again, Fangio had a strong game plan, and his defense was able to consistently get pressure with four on Justin Herbert. When they can drop seven into coverage and really zone a young quarterback up, they're going to give him problems, and that's been proven throughout Vic Fangio's tenure. His front seven is playing pretty well right now. Patrick Surtain is excellent on the back end. And the biggest thing is Teddy Bridgewater does not turn the ball over, and they've actually committed to the run game a little bit. So that's why you got a 6-5 Broncos team right now, and they're probably going to hover right around that one game over 500 mark the rest of the way.
I'm trying to think of the last time that we've had a guest on a show that was covering a team or writing for a team that was over 500 openly was like, yeah, we're not very good. Broncos fans and people that really watch and follow this team, they don't seem to be very high on the Broncos.
No, they're really not. You know, it's funny. We have Shelby Harris, the defensive tackle, on our show every week. And, you know, after the Dallas game, Shelby came with the, and this is never a popular opinion, but he came with the, you know, if Broncos country doesn't want to support us, you know, we hear the criticism, blah, blah, blah. And then they go out and they get blown out against the Eagles. And all of the feedback that we got on our show was, hey, make sure you tell Shelby Harris how great they are now and kind of rub it in his face a little bit. This is how Broncos fans are right now. This is a scarred fan base. I don't think people trust this team. I don't think people trust Vic Fangio. I don't think people trust Teddy Bridgewater. I do think that there's an acknowledgement that things are better than they have been. But this is six consecutive years of mediocre to bad football from the Broncos. And this is a town where people like their team to contend. It doesn't make Denver super unique or anything like that, but there's a pretty high football standard here in Denver. And okay, cool, you're an adequate, probably 9-win team this year. That's not going to get anybody excited, and you're not going to find a lot of Broncos fans. I mean, they badly want it, but you're not going to find a lot of Broncos fans or media that are trusting them to go into Arrowhead and beat Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Right now we're talking to Nate Kreckman of Altitude 92.5, previewing and taking a look at the Chiefs and Broncos on Sunday Night Football. So a couple of days ago, we threw out this question: who is the NFC equivalent for the Denver Broncos? And the popular answer were the Washington Football Team or the Carolina Panthers. I do think that the Broncos right now are in a very unique spot. They're sort of in quarterback purgatory where I like the roster for the Broncos. It sounds like you like the roster for the Broncos as well, but you don't have your quarterback of the future. You don't really have a clear path to finding the quarterback of the future. And then when you take a look at the division with Derek Carr, who I think is better than the Broncos quarterback, Herbert certainly is, and obviously Patrick Mahomes, it seems like the Broncos are just stuck in neutral for the time being.
You know, it's funny. We've referred to Carolina on our show all year long as NFC Broncos. So Panthers have been the answer to that question. And maybe things have deviated a little bit here of late, but Carolina's been the team that we've been staring at, mostly because, much like the Broncos, Carolina started 3-0, beat a bunch of bad teams. I think they beat the Jets and the Texans early on in the year. And then when they actually had to play quality opponents, they got their butts kicked and they lost 4 in a row. That's kind of exactly what it's looked like here for the Broncos. And you're absolutely right about the quarterback purgatory thing. Here's the good news is that George Payton is running this front office, and he basically has already blown John Elway out of the water in terms of competence here in his less than 1 year on the job. He set this team up pretty well. The Von Miller trade, yeah, you're trading a legend. You're trading a Super Bowl MVP. You got a second and a third rounder out of the Rams for a guy that was not a part of your plans going forward in the future. That was an absolute no-brainer of a deal, and it gave the Broncos 5 picks in the top 100 of the draft coming up here this year. So there is Denver with all of that draft capital. They can get aggressive if they need to move up in the first round. And the good news is there are teams like Jacksonville and the Jets that have quarterbacks of the future already in their buildings that may be looking to work with you on something like that. Also, the Broncos have a buttload of salary cap space. Even with the extensions they give to Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton, the Broncos have set themselves up to, I believe, be in the top four in terms of cap space going into next season. So should you need to move draft capital and then sign a contract extension with the likes of an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson, a couple of guys disgruntled in their current situations, as weird as their situations may be, the Broncos have that flexibility as well. Now, none of this is guaranteeing that the Broncos are going to make a wise decision and either draft a good quarterback and have the right bridge guy in place, which might be Teddy Bridgewater, or get one of those excellent veterans. There's no guarantees there, but in the very least, they are set up to be able to do it, and that's absolutely what they have to do. So I got to say, I think George Payton has done a really good job running this football operations department since he took over.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Kreckman of Altitude 92.5, taking a look at the Denver Broncos and getting you ready for Sunday Night Football. Chiefs and Broncos, let's focus in on the quarterback situation and what the future sort of looks like. We just talked about there's not really a clear path. I know Denver was sort of in the middle of every trade rumor last year, whether it was Russell Wilson, whether it was Aaron Rodgers, whether it was Deshaun Watson. What do the locals want to happen? What do they think will happen with the future of the quarterback position with the Broncos?
Yeah, Rodgers or Wilson is mostly the debate that is going on. You don't hear much about Deshaun Watson. I don't really take it all that seriously. That is sticking your neck out there in a way that I'm not sure the Broncos want to go down that path. That's not to say that Deshaun's not a possibility. Plus, you know, people are taking a look at it, Kenny Pickett and Matt Corral and Malik Willis and Carson Strong and this group of quarterbacks, Sam Howell, that could be coming out in the draft. You know, it's an interesting year, and you look at it and say, well, there's no obvious Trevor Lawrence type of number one. But that doesn't matter to me. It's about getting the right guy. It isn't about getting the consensus pick. Justin Herbert was the third quarterback taken in his class. Patrick Mahomes was the second quarterback taken in his class. Mac Jones is the best rookie quarterback in this class right now. He was the fifth quarterback that was taken. So you have to have the right coach and the right fit. And it's, you know, you're asking about quarterbacks, but coaching is the other massive question that this team has to answer. Vic Fangio going into the last year of his deal, and George Payton did not hire Vic Fangio. And Fangio, while an excellent defensive mind, is oftentimes overmatched on game day. So who's going to be the coach? And what is going to be the philosophy there? The Broncos still have ownership issues, and that's not going to resolve itself. But in the very least, this is an organization that needs to get aligned from GM to coach to quarterback, you know, kind of like the Chiefs are.
Let's say that the Broncos win 9 games but miss the playoffs in your scenario. Do you think Vic Fangio is the coach next year of the Broncos?
No, I think he's out. I think he could get into the playoffs and still be out. They would have to give him a contract extension. They're not going to have him go into a lame duck year. And, look, I believe George Payton when he says that he genuinely likes Vic Fangio. I don't think there's many people in the football world that don't have the utmost respect for Vic Fangio. He has the reputation and the track record that he does for a very good reason. But, again, as a head coach, this guy is absolutely nothing special. And his offense hasn't gotten better in his time here. Both of his offensive coordinator picks, Rich Scangarello and Pat Shermer, have struggled mightily here in Denver. Yes, he does an excellent job with this defense, but we know the head coaching position is about a heck of a lot more than just being dominant on one side of the ball. And they still have most of the same offensive issues, albeit in different ways, than they have in recent seasons. They're not plagued with turnovers the way that they were a year ago with Drew Lock at quarterback. Now that Bridgewater is in there, but they're not scoring all that many more points right now either. And like you said earlier, if you're going to compete in this division with Mahomes and Herbert and Carr, got to put points on the board. And the Broncos, they have not been able to consistently score going all the way back to 2014. They won a Super Bowl in 2015 with what I would argue is the worst offense ever to win a Super Bowl, with zombie Peyton Manning at quarterback. So this goes back a long, long way. And if you can't score points, you're not going to be anything interesting in January and February in this sport.
Last thing here, Nate, and I appreciate your time. Looking at these two teams, I think the Broncos' best chance to win this game is with their defense. They're third in the NFL at points allowed at 17.8. Their defense has been really good. The return of Patrick Surtain II, who actually played really well last week against the Chargers. If the Broncos are able to come into Kansas City and pull off this upset as a massive underdog, how do you see that formula playing itself out?
I see it happening if Vic Fangio doesn't have to blitz. If he can consistently rush four and get pressure like he did last week against the Chargers, and he is able to drop his guys back in those matchup zones and keep those two high safety looks and keep Mahomes contained, the Broncos have a chance. Obviously, turnovers are going to have to factor themselves in right there. Offensively, be committed to the run game. Melvin Gordon is 50-50 right now. It's something to keep an eye on. But the rookie back, Javonte Williams, is really, really fun. There's been almost damn near split 50-50 carries when it comes to split of carries between Williams and Melvin Gordon this year. But a lot of Broncos fans are fascinated to see what it would look like if Javonte Williams could get, you know, 20, 22, 23 carries or something like that, and see what kind of factor he could be. Again, run game, and again, defensively, if the front seven can get pressure, that is how they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. These are all things that are easier said than done. And quite frankly, these are things that the Broncos have actually done in the past to Mahomes and the Chiefs, and they've still lost. So we know that history works against them. 3-19 all time in December games in Kansas City, lost 11 in a row in the series. Andy Reid coming off of the bye. The Broncos are going to need a lot of things to go right for them to win this game.
That is Nate Kreckman with Altitude 92.5 in Denver. Doesn't sound very optimistic about the Broncos' chances of coming in here in Arrowhead and pulling off an upset. Nate, always good catching up with you, my friend. Thanks for hopping on today.
Anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!